Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we again enthusiastically, with grateful hearts, Lord, we welcome your presence. We ask for an increase of your presence, a manifestation of your wisdom upon us this morning. And Lord God, I ask, help me to preach the word. Help me, Lord God, to impart your word, your heart to us, Lord, and to this amazing group of people. Lord God, we just honor you this morning. Jesus, we honor your name. Holy Spirit, we jealously guard your presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I can't help myself. So, where are we? It's good to see you all this morning. It's great to be here. It's good to preach. I'm excited this morning for what I'm going to preach. So we're doing Holy Spirit Part 3. Of course, by now you should be able to remember this and quote this yourselves. We must learn the difference between being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and being aware of the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. And if we get that right in our lives, we will in no doubt walk with Him in abundance of life and excitement. And then our key scripture that I keep referring to, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God the Father, and the intimate friendship or fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And we see the expression of that. Now, this morning, before I prepared to preach this word, and then I did some checking up on the whole thing, and then I realized, wow, the Holy Spirit's really in this. Because do you know what today is? Oh, well, okay, let's do something more important than that. Today is Pentecost. In the ecumenical calendar, if you like, today is known and remembered throughout the world. All churches who believe in Jesus Christ, death and resurrection, and preach the true gospel know this as Pentecost Sunday. But today, I'm going to preach one of those sermons that I love to preach called Connect the Dot Sermons, which sometimes just meddle with your minds. And that's why I love them so much, because it meddled with my mind. And as I'm studying and I'm reading, I'm going, oh, I didn't get that. Oh, because all of you, well, not all of you, because some of you maybe don't, think that, ooh, Pentecost, that's when the Holy Spirit came down and touched the people in the upper room, and that's New Testament, and that's wonderful. That's partly true. And now I'm already meddling with your brain. So let's turn with me in my Bibles, in your Bible, actually. I've turned in mine to Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 1, just for context sake, because the real part is verses 3 to 5. So let's go. In the first book, O Theophilus, and this is Luke, Dr. Luke writing, saying, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Important, verse 3. To them he presented himself alive after his sufferings by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days. Now, if you know me a little bit, you know that when I see numbers in the Bible, I want to know what they mean. 40. 40 is the number of preparation. It's the time of testing. It's when people get prepared for stuff. And if you go through your, I'm just interjecting here quickly. If you go through life and you look at 40 days, Noah in the ark, 40 days, 40 nights. 40 days, how many days was Jesus in the desert for? 40 days, 40. How many years were the Israelites wandering around in the desert? How many months is a woman, how many weeks? How many weeks is a woman pregnant for? I rest my case. Well, some are for 40. Let's put it that way. Where am I? Many proofs appearing to him during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait, and sometimes we need to be patient, wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And last week we read on a little bit more, and they were like, woof, they went right over their heads, and they say, yeah, but Lord, when are you going to restore the kingdom of heaven? And he said, it's got nothing to do with you. It's none of your business. And then he repeated himself. And so now we see between resurrection and Jesus' ascension is 40 days. Whenever we see that number, and then we understand what Jesus said to him. Now, let's just go back Old Testament a little bit. In the Old Testament, they set up what they were 7 festivals. And each of them meant something, and it was took place. But there are 3 main agricultural festivals, and those are the ones we're going to look at today. And we look at the Old Testament, connect the dots, and look into the New Testament. And you say, well, what has that all got to do with Pentecost Sunday? And I'm so glad you asked, because I'm going to help you understand that, I think, because we need to understand this stuff so we get that, well, these are just nice stories. No, they're not. They're written hundreds and thousands of years apart, and then all of a sudden they come true and you go, wow. But if we don't know how to connect the dots and look at OT and UT, then we go, wow. Or as Kevin would say, hashtag Pentecost. I know, I can't help myself, it's all good. So now the 3 agricultural festivals we're going to look at are the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, which was called then originally. So Pentecost is not just the day the Holy Spirit came down. Because Pentecost, and I know it's in my notes somewhere and I'm just going to mess myself up by not following my notes. Pentecost actually really just means 50. Oh. We thought it was like Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down and they all filled and they were cloven tongues, and we always pray for that. No, just meant 50. Penti meaning 5. Kosti meaning to the power of 10 equals 50. And the way that... Oh, okay. Let's just go back because I'm explaining too much. Feast of the Tabernacles, Feast of Booths. So what we need to have a look at is the Feast of the Passover. Now we understand what that, because it all starts off, and this is the timeline of God with the children of Israel and the life that they took and the history that he took them through. And it starts as slaves in Egypt. And when there were slaves in Egypt, we know the story. And then Moses goes and he says to Pharaoh, let my people go. If you follow, what's his name? Cecil DeMille's version. And the Pharaoh says, not on your chance. It's not happening. And so then the first plague comes, second plague, and then plague number 10, and he says, we're really going to teach you a lesson now, and we're going to kill all your firstborn children. And he said, but he goes to the Hebrews and says to them, listen guys, you must take the lamb, spotless lamb, just take the blood and put it on the lintel of the door, and when the angel of death comes over, stay in your house, don't stick your head out, don't get curious, just stay inside. And when the angel of death passes over, your children will all be saved. And so that's how it all starts. And then he said, oh, by the way, just every year we're going to have a festival to remember everything that's going on. Okay, well, that didn't work then. My battery's gone dead. Okay. In my bag are batteries, Christopher, in the second thing. Thank you. Okay, it's going to come. It says, Feast of Passover, Feast of Pentecost, and I'm going to be here for a while, so don't worry, we'll fix it. And so they said, every year we're going to have this Passover, and we now call it Easter, but in actual fact it's Passover, and if we understand that, and then we remember the lamb that was slain, and we'll look at that. Then the second one is Feast of Pentecost, which as I've explained, is Feast of Weeks, and you can, if you don't believe me, you can go and read it in Exodus 34:22, because it's a good thing. And he says, we're going to have another holiday for you guys. And it's a harvest festival. Exodus 30:23, verse 16. And that's why we called it one of the 3 agricultural festivals. Because in Leviticus 23:15, Thank you, Chris. No, I just want to see that I'm in control. Okay. So, it's all about who, yes. Says it mentions 7 weeks or 50 days from the day, so this is where it gets it in Exodus 23. It says, from the day of the wave sheaf was offered during the days of unleavened bread. So there was two of the festivals that took place. And he said, count out 7 weeks. Now we know, seven sevens are 49. So from the day of the sheaf, day one, seven sevens are 49 plus one is 50. On the 50th day, you're going to celebrate this feast of weeks. Later it turned into a day, listen to this one, to commemorate the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. Well, why'd they change it? Well, depending from which Jewish school you belong and what you believe, but Moses goes up the mountain. Just figure this with me. Moses goes up the mountain, and he's up the mountain, and what happens? Thunder and lightning, and a cloud comes down, and Moses up on the mountain, he's getting the law, and he comes down, and they've been having a party down there because they've just got, he's been up the mountain for so long, 40 days. And we don't know what to do, so we say, let's build a golden calf and let's have fun. So they do that. Moses comes down, throws down the law, and he's got to do this back up again. God writes the law and makes the law again for them. But now, well, why did they change it? Where does the Feast of Weeks, where does the 50 come in? I'm so glad you asked. If you go and study your Bible, you will see that when they came out of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea parted for them, and it's a type and shadow, symbolic of going into death, into being in the sea, baptism, coming out the other side of it, resurrected, ready to go into their new land, Canaan. But they get to Mount Sinai, and they mess up a little bit. So now it takes them 40 days to get to Mount Sinai. And if you go and read it, it says that Moses, the Lord said to Moses, spend another 3 days. So now we get 43 days. Spend another 7 days. And then he says, okay, now 3 days come up the mountain. 50 days. Okay? And this has become especially significant for us during this celebration of Shavuot or Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit is poured out upon His first followers for their mission and the gathering of the church together. Then we get Feast of Tabernacles and Feast of Booths. And that's held at the end of every year around the harvest time. It's fall. It's called the Feast of Tabernacles. And that represents the period after they were given the time before entering the Promised Land, after they came out of Egypt, crossed the sea. And we understand that the sea, before they were going into Canaan, and they spent times living in these tents and these huts called tabernacles. And that's why it's called the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. And the point is, remember me, remember this holiday, number three holidays. They get lots of holidays, eh? The third holiday now of when we get in the ingathering of the harvest time. But remember that you spent time in the tabernacles and the booths, and you were there because we're going to see how we connect the dots in a very short while. You see the feasts that were fulfilled. You say, well, why are you telling us all this stuff, Mark? I thought this was Pentecost. So we don't understand it. We miss the import of it. Do not think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So we think sometimes, well, now it's just the old law. It's just done away with now. We don't have to bother about it. The point is that we don't practice it, where we live by the principles that God engendered for us. And that's why we live in the new dispensation under grace. And that's why we live. Grace imputed to us by Jesus Christ. John chapter 1. Jesus, one of my favorite scriptures, I think it's 14 or 16, I can't remember right now. But Jesus says, Moses was given the law. He gave the law, was given to us. Jesus brought grace and truth. Jesus is grace and truth. Grace is not an idea. It's not an ideology or a theme or something. It is Jesus Christ Himself. And we see that. So let's try and connect the dots a little bit. Okay. Feast of Passover. Now this is where you got to get really, well, I don't know, I got excited. Early in the day, the lamb would be sacrificed and the blood would be spilled at 9 a.m. in the morning. This wasn't like, just wake up and do it whenever you want to do. No, no, no. They all did it at the same time. Then the lamb would be placed in an oven for cooking at 3 o'clock. So they would spend the day preparing it and doing everything at 3 o'clock. And we understand the point of it was as a remembrance of this Passover. Remember, they killed the lamb, put the blood on the doors. And then there's a whole lot of instruction on how they should eat the lamb, not wasting anything. And you see the sacrifice and spilt blood covered their sins. And it was a time, these three agricultural feasts was where every male had to gather together for these three feasts. So they got three holidays where they all would gather up and go. In the New Testament, Jesus, the perfect spotless lamb, was crucified and his blood was spilled at 9 a.m. Jesus dies at 3 p.m. and they take him off the cross and they put him in the tomb. But Jesus' sacrificed blood doesn't just cover our sins. It removes our sins to be remembered no more. Thank you. You think it's a nice story? 1 Corinthians 5:7. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. New Testament, Old Testament. I've got New Old Testament, sorry. I must have. Feast of Pentecost. A cloud descends on Mount Sinai with noise and fire. 50 days from the Red Sea, as I've explained, they get to Mount Sinai. God writes his law on tablets of stone. They have the golden calf incident, and we know because of that 3,000 people died that day. God then eventually establishes the nation of Israel after he's given them the second set of commands. But New Testament, the Holy Spirit descends with a loud noise and fire 50 days from Jesus' death. God writes his law in our hearts, not on tablets of stone. Holy Spirit, 3,000 people are saved that day. God establishes his church. Now I'll explain 50 is just means, Pentecost means 50. Nice story? No. The day of Pentecost arrived. That's important for us to read it. You know, sometimes we don't read it. But isn't it? No, no. It says, I've left out when. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in place. So which tells me that Pentecost was already happening. This is the feast they were gathered for Pentecost. There is no Greek word for Shavuot, so they changed it and they make it Pentecost, 50. Did 50 because they remember Feast of Weeks. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all full of the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. Let me just pause there for a second. And I know I've been, and I think I did in the old days, when I wasn't so sure about my salvation and what this all meant. Oh Lord God, let us have another Pentecost meeting. Lord God, let your fire come down and let it burn another. No, no. This is, I will pour out my Spirit on all the earth. And that's when that happened. He poured out his Spirit on us. We don't need another Pentecost because the Holy Spirit is already here. And I know some of you might say, well, can't it? Of course it can happen. If any of you read about Azusa Street. But you know what? Their pastor sat with a box on his head for weeks and weeks. A cardboard box on his head. Go and read it. And when the people got upset with him and mad at him, he took the box off and the flames were gone and the Holy Spirit was gone. As humans, we have a way of messing things up. Instead of just saying, I'm going with you, Holy Spirit, as far as I can, as long as I can, we now want to make stuff happen because we don't think it's happening well enough. I read an amazing book. I don't often talk about books, but this one's amazing. It's called They Told Their Stories. It's about the children who were at Azusa Street, and they tell their stories as adults, as older people, of what actually happened and what they saw and what took place. If you ever want to say, well, I'm not so sure about the Holy Spirit, get the book, read the book. You'll come to church going, wow. You'll walk through the streets going, wow. Limbs grew out. eyes were seeing. It goes on, picture. Okay, so that's a little bit about Feast of Pentecost. Oh, well, aren't we going to talk about it more? Yes, we are. I'm just trying to explain some of the stuff to you. Then we get the Feast of the Tabernacles, Old Testament. They were wandering and living in the desert for 40 years in temporary tents. They were eventually brought to their final home. They celebrated during this harvest season the ingathering of the harvest. And they were, oh, thank you, Lord. And they were so excited. And we're gathering together. And look at the great harvest we've got, etc., etc. New Testament. Bible tells us we are pilgrims passing through this temporary earth. We are aliens passing through. This is not my home. How's the song go? It's not my home. I'm just a passing through. Heaven's laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The Savior beckons me from heaven's open door. Oh, I can't live alone in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you... Oh, okay, sorry. Now you know why I'm not in the worship team. Anyway, the truth is, we will event... I know it's an old Wesleyan song. Just stay with me. We will eventually be brought to our final home, heaven. At the moment, we're just wandering around, living in our tents and our temporary abodes. This is temporary, one day to be glorified. My brick and mortar, or well, not brick and mortar, but yeah, what was this stuff called? What's the stuff called? Help me. Drywall. In our drywall and whatever we got. Anyway. There's it. There will be a great final harvest of people at the end. It's all about people. I said it last week. There will be a great ingathering. You know, and sometimes we read the articles and books and all this stuff, and it says the church is dying, and this is the another religion. Islam is growing, and Christianity is dying, and people aren't attending church like these. You know, that might be the case in North America. But I want to tell you, in the Middle East, in the Far East, and in Asia, people are getting saved at an unprecedented amount of time. Because it doesn't touch us, we go, yeah, okay, well, it's not happening. No, it is happening. There is an unprecedented ingathering of harvest carrying on in the world at the moment. Nice story? No. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, the remnant, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Isn't that cool? You know, we were privileged to go to Israel a couple of years ago, and we stood on the Mount of Olives, and we looked down through the Kidron Valley and up to the Eastern Gate. And it's amazing, because from the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane, I mean, seriously, it's like this. It's steep. And you walk down and up on the other side. The Jews have all got a cemetery on this side of the mountain. The Muslims have got the cemetery on this side of the mountain at the Eastern Gate. And they said to us, the guide told us that while we were there, he said, he doesn't know if this is an urban legend or if it's true, but there is a prince, buried at the gate with a dagger in his hand and a letter giving him instructions that when the dead in Christ arise, his job is to kill Christ before he can enter the Eastern Gate. Yeah, good luck with that. But it's exciting. This is just temporary for us. This is the Feast of the Tabernacles. And part of it is not fulfilled as yet, because it's going to be filled when the trumpet sounds and Christ returns. Woo! Amen, Mark. That was great. I'm so excited. Okay. There we go. Okay. So now, just imagine with me, because what does the Bible say about the second coming? Only, who knows? The Father. Can you imagine Jesus, just poetic license. Jesus sitting with the Father going, Dad, is it today? I'm interceding. I'm interceding. I know the devil's telling them lies. I'm interceding. They're renewing their minds. They're doing good. But Dad, is it today? Susan's telling me, are we there yet? Imagine the day. Dad, are we there yet? Is it today? I don't think he's going to say anything. He's just going to turn to his son and go. And he said, Dad, my horse is ready. The horse is ready, Dad. I'm keeping it well fed. Holy Spirit keeps nudging me. He's saying, Dad, must I brush him today? Do I put the saddle on him today? Is he ready? I'm ready. My sword is sharp. I'm ready. Wake up, O sleeper. This is the hour. Do you know that we are living in the last days already? People say, well, I'm not sure, because I read it somewhere here. In the last days. Oh, yeah. For this, no. No, Joel. New Testament. Oh, man, I've missed it now. Ooh. I'll get there. Maybe I'm coming to it. I don't know. Okay. So where do we go? Like Father? Like we've been talking about. I get the Father thing. I get the Son thing. Holy Spirit thing. Mark, you're helping me a bit. Do you know, when I grew up in church, unfortunately, we were raised on, don't worry so much about Holy Spirit stuff. That's for the charismatics. In our day, there was only denominational churches. When I was a youngster, there were no non-denominational churches. If you were non-denominational church, for sure you were a cult. And there was only one group of people in South Africa that were a little bit crazy. They were called the Full Gospels. I know. And they used to, I mean, we'd never been inside their building. We'd never listened to their preaching. But because we were holiness movement, they switched the lights off and they looked for the Holy Spirit under the chairs, which I'm sure they never did. Because one of my friends was the youth pastor then. I got to talk to him after years and years because I didn't know. And I met him years later. His name was Rigby Wallace. Some of you might know. Yeah. So remember the series we did, Carrying Stuff? Some of this stuff we have to get rid of and relearn and understand it. So stay away from Holy Spirit stuff. It's just unnatural. Yeah, it is. It's supernatural. God wants us all to live in the fullness and the life of Holy Spirit dwelling in us, guided by the Holy Spirit. Well, Mark, if I'm not quite there, is this a heaven? Will I still go to heaven? Yeah, absolutely. This is not a heaven and hell issue. You are only saved by the blood of Jesus. If you don't speak in tongues as yet, you will still go to heaven. It's not a requirement to get into heaven. Some will tell you that it is. I'm telling you it's not. Don't listen to that pastor, listen to this pastor. I'm just saying. So what does this mean? Acts 2:12. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? This is what we find in Acts chapter 2, verse 12, when they were all together. Perhaps some of you are just amazed and perplexed. They were speaking in response to the celebration of the Feast of the Passover. In Acts 2:1, it says, when the day of Pentecost, they were all together. They were there for the festival. They had no idea that these guys in the upper room, the 120 or so up in the upper room, had no idea. We've been told to wait. What are we waiting for? 40 days, Jesus appeared to them, showed them, look my hands. We told the story last week, Thomas, and etc., etc. And now we're going, it says, we're together. So what does this mean for us? I'm so glad you asked. Number one, He empowers me to live righteously, Holy Spirit does. Pentecost was more about the law being given and an instruction book and an external law. But the New Testament means I'm going to send you a counselor, a comforter, the Parakletos. And he's going to guide you and lead you. And we're looking for the book of law. And he says, don't worry about the book of law. That's external. I've written it on your hearts. My laws are on your hearts. I've written it in your flesh. I've given you a new nature. Your old nature is dead. And it keeps trying to resurrect itself. And we've got to sometimes learn and say, no, I'm covered. By His grace, as we sang this morning, my sins have been removed. My old man, my old nature is not part of me anymore. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Yeah. He says, we're going to change things up a little bit. Instead of the laws and stone, we're going to put them on your hearts. We're going to take out the old person, put in a new person. My spirit has been made alive. Here we go. I knew I'd got to seen it. And in the last days it shall be. God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons, yes, Janine, you're right. It was Joel, but it's written in that. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So what are we thinking? We're thinking, well, I'm going to go to bed tonight, and I'm going to go, well, am I under old or am I over old? I'm not sure, so I don't know whether I'm going to have visions or dreams. No, that's not what that really means. What it means is that the Spirit of God has poured out all of us. And what it means, we have a new dispensation. We are living in the old days. We have a new motivation of grace, His laws in my life. I do the things not because I have to, but because I want to. I think Christ-like thoughts. I dream Christ-given visions. I speak of His life. And His abundance and His amazing nature in our lives. The imputed grace and righteousness that He has given us. That's what we're doing. Romans 8:9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature. But it controls me. No. But by the Spirit. If the Spirit of Spirit of God. Oh, you can see. God lives in you. Spirit of Id. I know, that's what some of you are thinking, right? Spirit of God lives in you. We are not controlled by a sinful nature. But it keeps dragging me down. Yes, I know. Cut it off, kick it into touch, and get on with it. When you think or think your nature is taking you, say, I'm not going over there. When I was in business, I had this young fellow that worked with me, and he came to me, and another guy worked with me. He's here with Gannis. He was a Christian guy. The other's name was Teddy. And he says, hey, Mark, Teddy's in big trouble. I said, what? Gannis was a Christian. He says, when he goes at home at night, he says these things take him, and they want to try and throw him out the window, and they talk in his head. And he's like, he's scared he's going to commit suicide. So, of course, where does he live? He says, on the 10th floor. I said, yeah, okay, that's bad. Yeah. So I said, okay, I'll tell you what, lunchtime, we're going to pray for Teddy. So Gannis says, okay. So now, closed my office door. And I said, so Teddy? So he says, hey, I said, explain to me. So he tells me, he says, hey, Mark, this thing comes and it's trying to take me and it's trying to kill me. I can feel it around my throat like this. I said, can I lay my hands on you and pray for you? He says, sure. So I get up out my chair, and as I walk to him, he slips off the chair like a snake and slithers into the corner. And he's shouting, it's taking me! It's taking me! So of course I did my best rugby tackle, jumped on him, laid hands on him, and prayed. And he went like this. And he said, wow, what's going on? Why am I on the floor here? I said, no, Gannis, you explain. And he said, well, I don't know what to do now. I said, well, let's give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he got saved. And then again, I said, Gannis, take him, because they were mates. I said, take him to church, bro. And the reason I told you this story was, because we are not controlled by our sinful nature. We are controlled by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, if you are saved, if you've given your life to Jesus, the Spirit of God lives in you. I'm confused. No, you're not confused. Let me say it again. If you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God lives in you. And we need to listen. You know, people have told you, well, you know, we have this this battle within us, and we have this black wolf, and we have this white wolf, and the one that you feed, pastors have taught that, the one that you feed is the one that's going to win. No. Bible says, light cannot live with darkness. I am light. I'm a son of light. You are sons and daughters of light. Okay, I'm taking way too long. Where am I? Okay, I know where I am. Do you? Number two, he empowers me to live supernaturally. Yeah, Mark, now you're getting weird on us. One of our e-grace values is to encounter God at every level. This is not, I can't wait to get to church on Sunday because I'm going to encounter God. You should encounter God when you wake up, when you go to sleep, when you sit down to eat, when you walk, get on the bus or the TT or wherever you get in your car, see your neighbor, talk to your friends. That's where you're encountering God. And he's saying to you, pray for them. And you say, I'm sure. No. We don't want to do that. It'll embarrass me. He says here, where am I? He empowers me. The cry of the heart is God to move supernaturally amongst us. We've said that many times. I don't think there's anyone here who wants to serve a powerless God. We just don't plug into the life source. We just don't plug into the power. Well, I'm plugged in. Well, dude, then let me see some supernatural power in your life. I'm just getting excited. I'm just getting started, actually. And I will show you wonders in the heavens, above the signs on the earth, below the blood and fire and the vapor of smoke. Looks like I was doing this quickly. Because I know the word smoke comes after that. Oh my Lord Jesus, help me. And all of us are going, I will show you wonders. And you're going, I wonder where that was. How did that happen? Holy Spirit. When you prophesy, when you say something by the unctioning of the Holy Spirit, you don't have to guess. Is that God? Is that me? Is that the person next door to me? No, you know. Why? Because we've practiced listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we know His voice. We know the shepherd. We know the shepherd's voice. And when the shepherd speaks, we know. Hot tip. If it's anti-biblical, if it's not in line with God's word, it doesn't matter how many times you say, God spoke to me, I'm going to tell you now for free. He didn't. God is not a liar. He cannot talk about things that he didn't say in his word. He can't be held accountable for things that he didn't decide on. Living a life for Christ, empowered, on the edge. Can you imagine? We should be like Jesus in that little vignette that I showed you. Is it today, Dad? Is it today? Is it today? We should be when I wake up in the morning. What have we got today? Holy Spirit, what have we got today? What are we going to do today? Wow. What are you going to lead me into? What are you going to show me? Honey, pass the coffee. I know, I take a little bit of cup of coffee in the morning to get going myself, but I want to meet the guy who invented coffee. Wonderful man. We want to live in a supernatural overshadowing the natural. Living in the natural. Being predictable. Boring. Boring. I'm so bored with my life. Wow. Well, I get up in the morning. I have my coffee. I brush my teeth. I shower. Get dressed. Go to work. Come home. Eat dinner. Go to sleep. Yeah, I know. You need help. How about I got up in the morning. Good morning, Holy Spirit. What did he say? He said, we're going to have fun today. Okay, let's go. Did you drink your coffee and brush your teeth? Yes, we did that. Got dressed, went out the door. As I was walking along, there was this man coming towards me. And as he came, the Holy Spirit said, pray for him. Now, what'll happen? What'll happen? Well, I don't know until I prayed for him. And then you come and you say, you will not believe what happened to me today. I was walking along and I was just wondering.
Because that's what the Bible says. I was wondering. And then I prayed. And this woman had a sore knee. And I prayed for her. And she said, the pain is gone. And she just started to weep right there. Pick a subject. Pick something. Okay. Let me. 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom. Understanding Paul was probably one of the smartest guys of the day. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Power agents. Forget about X-Men and Marvel and Superman and all that stuff. Super Christian. Yay! King of the galaxy. If only some of you could hear what's being said from the front row. But as you can see, it doesn't deter me. Yeah. Last one. Thank you, Peter. He empowers me to fulfill my mission. No. He empowers me to fulfill his mission. Which means you need to read too. Righteously, supernatural, his mission. This is not all for my personal entertainment. I'm going to come to church so I can get my elixir oil. I'm going to get my Holy Spirit fix so I can feel good about myself. And when we worship, I'm going to get all, yeah! I'm going to shake, rattle, and rock and roll. That's all good, if it's the Holy Spirit, of course. But the point is, what are you going to do with it? When you got your Holy Spirit fix. God touched me today. You bitch. Man, I was like, no, that's not what it's for. It's not for us to be entertained. It's not for us. You don't need that. You know when we come to church? It shouldn't be about receiving. It should be about giving. Man, I woke up this morning and I was listening to some worship. I was praying and the Holy Spirit said to me, when you get to church, take $50 and give it to such and such a person. You go, wow. You go and you give it to them and they break down. They're weeping and they have no idea that that was your last $50. You didn't have any money left. Holy Spirit. Whatever. Holy Spirit used to tell us to do that. When we had no money, we had 25 rand left. Now when you only got 25 rand left or $25, and he says give half of that away, you go, you're like the disciples. So when are you going to do the kingdom of heaven? Is this the kingdom of heaven today thing? Because if I give that away, no. I'll restore to you 100-fold. And then we got to the point where we had $50 left. And he said, give half of that away. Without salary increases, without knowing what we were doing, because the budget just really never worked, we tried. We ended up giving away between 100 and 200 rand, dollars a month. I don't say you have to go out and do that. All I'm just telling you is when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you're obedient, he is faithful to you. He empowers me to fulfill his mission. Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've said it once. I've said it twice. I've said it 100 times. It's about people and salvation. Opening the gates for people to come in. Because our gospel came to you not only in words, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, you know what kind of men we prove to be among you for our sake. It's about his mission, about him, about people, about your neighbors, about your brothers, your sisters, your family, your cousins, your nephews, your uncles, your aunties, the man or the lady across the street, the family across the street. Closing. What must we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins. And you, perhaps, maybe, possibly,
No. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, from whom the Lord our God calls to himself. That's what Pentecost is all about. That's this last bit, last 3 points. That's what Pentecost is. Because what does 50 mean? What does the number 50 mean? I know you're so happy to ask me. It means liberty. It means freedom. And that's why this was a time of liberty and freedom. When they're after the wave sheaf, when they celebrated the gathering, when they celebrated the Feast of Weeks, there was for them a liberty, a freedom for them. Holy Spirit came upon the earth once and for all. And He came, and it was liberty and freedom for us. Holy Spirit was in the Old Testament too, but He came and He left. And He came and He left. And He empowered people to do stuff, and then He left. Now we are just empowered. He's not leaving us. He's here with us. Let's stand together. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't know, that means like there was like a nuss. You got excited and you sweated a lot, and I don't know what you were talking about. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, all you do is you say, Father, I come to you now in the name of your Son Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you for removing my sins forever, past, present, and future. And Lord, I come to you today and I want to serve you as Lord and Master, as my Savior, King Jesus. I give my life to you. I offer it up as a free offering to you, Lord God. Amen. So Father, we come to you this morning. Holy Spirit, thank you that you live in us. And this morning, Lord God, we ask, come again and fill us. Touch our lives. Speak to us, Lord God. Let us not be found wanting, Lord. Let us be your servant until you come. Holy Spirit, have your way in us this morning. Fall down upon us. Rain your spirit of love upon us. Just where you are, just say, Holy Spirit, fill me again. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.